Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I appreciate all of you coming and listening to all these archives. The response has been excellent, and I really am quite pleased with that. That means our country has a chance, maybe, of not going down in a nuclear inferno, which it seems that we're heading for an untimely demise if we don't get into neutral positive thinking as a nation. Of course, I know you're very aware of what's going on in North Korea and the rhetoric that goes on back and forth. It's like two kids in a schoolyard. I have to eat a little crow here because I voted for Trump, and I was convinced that he would be helpful for the nation. I think he's probably helped us economically, but this rhetoric is absurd, and it makes me understand why Billy has said that he's not qualified. Of course, if we had Hillary, we'd probably be in nuclear war already. So we're in a very difficult time, and only I think the spiritual teachings are going to get us out of this mess. Let me remind you of six things that I like to tell myself, and this all comes principles between pages 200 and 230 of The Might of Thoughts. I found that saying these six little things out loud will help me break the flow of unhealthy thinking. So the six things are: I am confident, I'm optimistic, I am cheerful, I'm relaxed, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful. It's good to start with the idea of confidence. I think a lot of problematic thinking occurs because of our lack of confidence. And I've really had to do some introspection on my part, and I do have a lack of confidence at times, more often than I would like to admit to myself. Confidence is the feeling or belief that you can rely on someone or something. Firm trust. I like to think of confidence in terms that I know I can rely on myself. Confidence, again, can be described as a belief in one's ability to succeed. Confidence is a belief in oneself and in one's powers or abilities. So you have great ability as a human being because, like every human being, you have a fragment of the universal consciousness that exists in your middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus. And the spiritual energy from that spirit form energizes your whole body. And the power associated with your spirit form is off the charts. So you have a right to be optimistic. Optimism presents a quality which fascinates all human beings, in which every single human being would certainly like to call their own. And the human being for whom optimism is a characteristic, the person has the ability to enchant their own life and to enchant others. So optimism is very important. So I'm going to hit you with a lot of stuff that might shake your optimism, but don't let it. This is a lot of what's going on in current events, and we've been covering it the past few shows, and it continues to be amazing to watch this take place, and especially in light of the Maya prophecies, because I just didn't see us falling into this kind of chaos, which we haven't yet, not really. But it certainly now makes me realize it's very much a possibility. North Korea is on nuclear alarm.
By his Secretary of State, UN Ambassador, and National Security Advisor, President Trump is turning up the heat on North Korea for a third time this week. Late tonight, asked, is the U.S. going to war?
I think you know the answer to that. He has disrespected our country greatly. He has said things that are horrific. And with me, he's not getting away with it. He got away with it for a long time between him and his family. He's not getting away with it. It's a whole new ballgame. And he's not going to be saying those things, and he's certainly not going to be doing those things. I read about we're in Guam by August 15th. Let's see what he does with Guam. He does something in Guam, it will be an event the likes of which nobody's seen before, what will happen in North Korea. Not a dare. It's a statement. It has nothing to do with dare. That's a statement.
Today on the sun-drenched beaches of Guam, a tale of two islands. Tourists enjoying vacation, while Homeland Security officials issue stark warnings. What to do if North Korea carries out its threat to lob four ballistic missiles in this direction? In the event of a missile attack, do not look at the flash or fireball. It can blind you. Take cover under a concrete structure or below ground. Lie flat on the ground and cover your head. It could take 30 seconds or more for the blast wave to hit. And if caught outside, shower with lots of soap and shampoo to help remove radioactive contamination.
Washing hair and taping windowsills and stuff like that, that's kind of new to us.
This is a weapon that we don't want to mess around with.
Is it astonishing to you the way it is to me that we're actually hearing this kind of rhetoric? They're like two kids in a schoolyard, and we're about to go to DEFCON 3 and nuclear war over something that someone said. Is this insanity? I think it could be insanity. And Billy told us that this could happen. I must admit that I had my doubts, but after this latest fiasco between North Korea and the United States, I see that in no time whatsoever, any of these crazy prophecies could come through. And I shouldn't call them crazy because they're very sane. What is insane is the people of our earth. And it says in the book, The Might of Thoughts, that this book was created for a people who are ill in their consciousness. So we need to find health for our consciousness. In order to do that, you have to think neutral, and you have to think in a neutral, positive way. Tell yourself, I am confident, I am optimistic, I am cheerful, I am relaxed, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful. Now, optimism, and I'll read this, this is from page 220. Optimism represents a quality which fascinates all human beings, and which every single human being should certainly like to call his own. And the human being for whom optimism is characteristic has, under the most unusual circumstances and situations, a power to not only form his or her life correctly, but also to enchant it. So an optimism, therefore, is no clown or no comical figure. Rather, he is a human being who, under the greatest pressure, remains consciously hopeful and happy, and who, in defiance of all blows, breakdowns, and deplorable states of affairs, and so forth, always retains the upper hand and the sense and the conviction for that which is good and that which is the best. So one of the goals of neutral positive thinking is to be optimistic. be cheerful, to be relaxed, to be thankful. So, one thing that we have to keep in mind is that the human being has a spiritual self available to him in the form of what's called the innermost creational nature. So we have two inner natures. We have an innermost creational nature, which is directly influenced by your spirit form. And we have a inner nature, which is influenced by your psyche and your material consciousness, as well as by your spirit form to a degree. So I think it's probably safe to say your innermost nature is what's most aligned with creation. The innermost creational nature of the spirit, which give life to the material consciousness and subconsciousness, as well as to the entire body. The creational impulses of striving for that which is higher must be searched for and recognized in this creational nature. So your innermost nature is sending you impulses, impulses for striving, impulses for your own evolution. Now, we have a whole society that's not functioning under their innermost nature. And that's why we're in the dilemma that we're in. So let's listen to another clip here about how China is sending 175,000 troops to the border of North Korea. Take me a second just to set this all up. So bear with me.
China has scrambled another 25,000 troops to be militarized along the North Korean border as the country is put on nationwide alert amid heightened tensions between the hermit state and the West, according to reports. This brings the total amount of troops now deployed up to 175,000. All five regions, military regions from China, have been ordered by Beijing to maintain readiness for the possibility of conflict along their border with Kim Jong-un's kingdom, according to UPI. China's armored and mechanized infantry brigades in the Shandong, Zhejiang, and Yunnan provinces have been given the go-ahead. The troops being deployed from China to the Korean Peninsula are from the 47th Group Army of the 9th Armored Brigade, the Information Center for Human Rights and Democracy. China has already sent 150,000 troops to the North Korean border on Sunday, Taiwan's China Post has claimed. It comes after the U.S. and South Korea conducted joint military exercises around the peninsula. USS Carl Vinson's strike group has been deployed to the Korean Peninsula in a show of force towards Pyongyang after the hermit nation has carried out a series of provocative missile launches and nuclear tests. Chinese President Xi Jinping begged Donald Trump to pursue a peaceful resolution to the meltdown in the crisis during a phone call between the pair. Despite the pleas, North Korea looks to set to detonate a nuclear device this week, according to the Voice of America. The device is expected to set off the device on Saturday. A National Security Council official said, "We have no comment at this time, but we will be watching closely." Donald Trump's decision to launch missiles into Syria last week in retaliation for President Assad's gas attack caused widespread alarm in China, it is believed. Japan's daily newspaper Sankei said it was taken in China as warning of a possible attack on North Korea. Trump and his team met with China's President Xi last week, and North Korea's nuclear program was top of the agenda along.
Still, it boggles my mind that this is actually going on. But nothing has really happened yet, and this is still just rhetoric. So maybe we should keep that in mind as we take a look at this. I feel kind of a little bit compelled to mention a few of the prophecies that the Meyer cases talked about that deal with civil war, because I'm wondering how the whole Civil War fits into this. Sounds like a nuclear war may start a civil war. Who knows? It's just so bizarre that this is really happening. We go back to the Henoch prophecies, and let's talk a little bit about destruction in North America. The Meyer case talks about two civil wars in the United States, and it talks about a tremendous destruction. So let me read this to you. It says, far in the West, it will be different. The United States of America will be a country of total destruction. And I'm still holding out that that's not going to be the case, that there's enough people with reasonable thoughts that will stop this from happening. But it goes on to say, the cause for this will be manifold. With her global conflicts, which are continuously instigated by her. Now, let's analyze this a little bit, because all that this president in North Korea has done is threaten. So why would we, be so incensed over this? Let's continue. And which will continue far into the future. America is creating enormous hatred against her worldwide in many countries, maybe North Korea and China. As a result, America will experience enormous catastrophes that will reach proportions barely imaginable to the people of the earth. My goodness, that's just hard to even wrap my mind around. You know, the Meyer information is very, very interesting. On the one hand, you have these stark, brutal prophecies, and then you have the spiritual teaching on love and the spiritual teaching on how to control our thoughts. And it's interesting because there's this beautiful letter, and I think they've made it a book now. That's called Love Teaching Letter Number 27. And this is from page 296. It says, love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. The individual should therefore be aware that he exists only through the love of creation, and that he carries this love also within himself. Creation created everything in love and logic, and put the same love in all of its creatures, so that life itself is love, even if living in the world often seems to consist of only conflict and drudgery. This fact does not change. And later on it goes to talk about how people have turned away from love. And to them, the world will seem like a place without love. And I think they behave in a way that also makes the world seem like a place without love. So we have all these people, this tremendous, almost 8 or 9 billion of us, and we're not functioning in love. We're not controlling our thoughts. So maybe the war is inevitable under those circumstances, because love is the purpose, will continue to be the purpose for life. And the same purpose, they coincide together, is the evolution of your consciousness, because love and wisdom go together. And the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. Let me play our next clip. Now, this is Oliver North. Now, I could do a whole show on Oliver North. I've got a great book up there called Clinton's War on Women. Oliver North was involved in the whole MENA, Arkansas thing when they were bringing up the cocaine from South America into MENA, Arkansas when Bill was the governor, and Oliver North was involved in that whole mess. And Barry Seal was the guy, CIA agent, was flying this stuff up in one of these big transport planes. And I think Barry Seal at that time was working for Oliver North. So keep in mind here, this is the level of corruption that we sunk to. So let's just play this, and I don't want to get too far off on a tangent, and listen to this.
Oliver North. All right. Good evening, Colonel. Here's my question. I mean, the last question that I asked the ambassador, I mean, what does America do now? I mean, on the one hand, we've got Tillerson saying we're still willing to negotiate. We hear today that there are back channels. And yet we've got the president saying, hey, we're locked and loaded and we're ready to defend this country and our territories.
Well, look, I agree completely with what John just said in terms of convincing President Xi and the People's Republic of China that it's in their interest to act now, because unless Xi intervenes to stop Kim Jong-un, the United States is going to have to take preemptive military action against the regime in Pyongyang. And that's going to have catastrophic consequences, not just for North Korea, but for the People's Republic of China. Consider this, Judge. Up to 20% of the North Korean population, 25 million human beings, is likely to flee on foot across the Yalu and Tumen rivers and take to the sea like boat people from Vietnam. That is a disaster of extraordinary proportions for China. There are things the president needs to do in the time that we've got to convince Xi that we are deadly serious, because talking to Kim Jong-un is a waste of time.
It is a waste of time. But here's the thing. It's not as though the president hasn't explained to President Xi in China that, look, you're going to suffer and you're going to have a mass migration from the peninsula.
But see, I don't think Xi is necessarily confident at this point that we are going to take action. Ooh. And what has to be done, there's a bunch of things that could be done. For example, return the tactical nukes to North Korea, the Republic of Korea that we withdrew back in the 1990s. We can deploy another carrier strike group to the region. We've got the Reagan going back into port to rearm and give the guys a couple of days.
When is that going to be deployed?
Well, she's in a port in Japan. She can be back along the Korean coast and close enough to strike with air assets and all the rest of it. If we move some aircraft and more air tankers to Guam and Okinawa, these are clear signals to the Chinese that we are getting ready to act. How about this? Deploy search and rescue assets and even ask Xi if we can base some of those search and rescue assets in China to recover our air crews, that again, some of which will get shot
but
down.
If, as you say, Colonel, hold on, we take preemptive action and we strike first, China has said that they will, if that occurs, that they will take the side of North Korea.
Well, but what this is again what my point. We are going to have to do this. We're facing a clear and present danger, an existential threat from the crazy regime in Pyongyang. We face the same problem ultimately from Tehran. We could, for example, just to make sure everybody understands we're serious, deploy the U.S. naval ship Mercy, the hospital ship from San Diego, to Busan, Korea. It sends a big signal. It's very visible. Deploy more U.S. Marine and Navy assets out to the region. Deploy more intelligence satellites and reconnaissance to update our target list. And that's going to leak here in this town. You know that. You could deliver biological and chemical protection equipment to the Republic of Korea. And finally, you could urge Japanese Prime Minister Abe to go to Beijing and tell the PRC President Xi, you'll go down in history as the man who talked us back from the brink. You'll get all the credit if you take Kim Jong-un back down.
All right.
Now, all of those things have to be done before you start military action.
Even though there was a unanimous vote of the UN Security Council,
I mean,
that didn't seem to have any impact. Unanimous. Russia and China.
But that's because they're not seeing in Beijing, forget Pyongyang, they're not seeing in Beijing that we're deadly serious. And we are. And there has to be. Because what's going to happen otherwise, a military operation is going to use sea and air assets, cruise missiles, Air Force strike aircraft, to literally decapitate the regime in Pyongyang, take down their air defenses, their C-cube comms with cyber attacks and special weapons strikes that we can't talk about on TV. And if Kim survives all that, he's going to have to issue orders to launch things with carrier pigeons because they won't be able to talk to each other.
Let me ask you one quick question. I only have a few seconds left. Seoul, South Korea. Everybody knows, you know, if they strike us or if we strike them, then they're going to strike South Korea. Why are they resistant to the THAAD defense missile system? Don't they know what's going on?
Well, because, again, nobody thinks we're serious. Because just as Ambassador Bolton said, for so many times, there's been so much bluff and bluster. This is not a president that anybody ought to take anything but deadly serious.
Couldn't agree with you more. Colonel Oliver North. And a quick programming note, be sure to catch Colonel North on War Stories tomorrow at 8 p.m. on the Fox Business Network. And
I'm here this evening to cut through the fake news filter and to speak straight to the American people.
They tell you, these guys, the fake news, they tell you it's fake news. Fake.
The fake media is trying to silence us, but we will not let them. The fake media tried to stop us from going to the White House, but I'm president and they're not.
Whoa. Things are heating up and getting stranger by the moment here. I think I just mostly am somewhat removed and detached from this. I grab these clips and just get a sample of what the rest of the world is thinking and or not thinking. And however the case may be, and unfortunately, I think probably the word is how the world is not thinking. What we need to do here, of course, is to learn to control our thoughts and not allow our thoughts to be instigated by others. You know, when Billy was a very, very young boy, about 4 years old, he crawled out a lower window in his bedroom and looked up at a beautiful sky. And he said the following. He said, "However, suddenly something peculiar happened inside of me, which for the next moment irrevocably changed my whole life. Strangely touched, I looked at my hands and my body, and I could only vaguely recognize them. So I touched my body and felt it, and then I heard my own voice say, 'My life is made out of the love of creation.' And I could not explain why I said that, and which power led me to speak these words. A slight shiver came over me, although the night was quite warm, and then I noticed that I also felt peculiar. Nevertheless, I was not frightened. Again, I looked up to the stars and recognized that the stars were distant suns in the vast outer space, and that these shone by means of their own power, by themselves, even though they were created from the light of the love of creation, as is everything in the whole universe. And again, words, the origins of which I could not decipher, the sense of which I was, however, able to grasp, as with the first words, escaped from my lips. Everything is created out of the light of love." And then further words followed. "The space between the stars is empty and yet not empty. And everything that exists in the whole universe is a living within. Vision. Everything is creation and creation itself. The words which came from my own mouth penetrated deeply into me, and in them I recognized that the true source of life is the light of true creational love, which in its vitality creates all life and contains within itself all laws and recommendations of creational order, and all information about life and death." What Billy is talking about here is the universal consciousness, and the creation itself is the physical universe. It's called Schöpfung in the German. And the universe is creation's internal and external body. And the universe that we live in is the material manifestation of the wisdom of the universal consciousness. The universal consciousness is a neutral, positive Wesenheiten, it's called in the German, And that means it evolves according to a fixed set of times and events. It expands for approximately 155 trillion years and then contracts. It follows a fixed pattern. Every universe, and there are multiple universes, every universe goes through phases. Our universe is in its first developmental phase, and it goes through 10 to the 24th different transitions of evolution. And the universe, the universal intelligence is neutral, yet it radiates love. But it requires you to be completely personally responsible for yourself. It's not a Heavenly Father. It's not going to rescue you literally. But because you have the universal consciousness as a fragment within inside you, you will get creational impulses that come up through your innermost nature that are going to give you guidance. But you've got to follow them. Because everything which exists in the whole universe is a manifestation of the might and the infinite and true love of this universal consciousness. Now, what we see in the universe is the material belt. There are seven belts of creation. We do not see the other six belts. We only see the material belt. This is where the galaxies and the solar systems and the stars and the planets are. Everything in the physical universe exists in this fourth belt of creation. All the belts rotate against each other, and they look somewhat like a, if you've ever seen the growth rings in a stump of a tree, it's very similar to how the universe is. And the universe has created these creational natural laws. And we've been talking about the law of love. And we're talking about the highest form of love, which is called effective love. And it's based on reverence. It's not romantic love. It's not a temporary love. The other evolutional law is the law of striving. It's a fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no happiness. There is no life. And the law that we've been focused on in the book of the Might of Thoughts is the law of harmony. The law of harmony tells us that there's a bipolar structure to everything, a positive and a negative. And if we keep the two in balance, we'll have peace. Now, there's another law that is kind of getting derailed on the earth because of our tremendous overpopulation. For example, the law of prosperity and abundance says that every life form, every human being has everything in plentiful abundance in order to be able to live and evolve. Now, the reason this is getting short-circuited is because of our overpopulation. So we've not followed the laws related to population because we're not following the laws of harmony. We've got these wars brewing up. We're not following the law of love because we're not, I mean, these wars and all of this rhetoric has nothing to do with love, and it does. About the only thing that we follow on this world is the law of striving. Striving, though, only for material possessions rather than for spiritual knowledge. We should be striving. There's nothing wrong with striving for material possessions, but we have to be in balance, and we're an insane society, and that's why this book was written, called The Mind of Thought, so we can learn to think correctly and get off the path of destroying the earth. The creation is said to be the being and the non-being of life. It is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. The creation is spirit in the purest form. Its wisdom is immeasurable. And Billy has written a book called Genesis, which I haven't read yet, but it also mentions this idea of non-being. There's a non-being aspect of life. I do not understand that yet. There is something called creation spirit energy. The creational spirit energy is weaving throughout the entire universe. The entire universe is laced with this energy. And this energy has an intelligence of its very own. But the wording, when I say intelligence, should not be likened to the intelligence of a human being. Because this intelligence, this energy, has the effect of bringing forth life forms. And the spirit energy enlivens everything. It enlivens humans, animals, creatures, microbes, bacteria, viruses, stones, amazing, sand, gases. And in some ways, the universal consciousness, the creation, has more in common with water and gas and stones than with human beings. Now think about that for a while. We have a Geist form, a spirit form, that resides in the middle of the brain in an area called the superior colliculus. The spirit form is the part of us that never dies. Remember, I was talking about your innermost spiritual nature is directly influenced by your spirit form. So after death, the spirit form is still there. It's still fine. And the spirit form animates the physical body. It comes into the body of the fetus 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. It starts the heart to beat. The spirit is no larger than a needle point. Its energy is enormous. It spreads out all over the human body like a web. And even after you die, a certain level of this residual spirit energy remains for about 3 hours. And that's why you can still get good organs out of a body for the first 3 hours. Now, Semyase, Billy's third mentor, had some interesting things to say about the spirit. She said the human bears a spirit that does not die nor sleep during the deepest sleep. It records all of our thoughts, all of our motions. It informs the humans whether his thoughts are correct or false. It said that the human is the bearer of the creative realm. But the problem is this, that we have mostly on the earth today non-creational thinking human beings that are influenced by the material intellect. And the material intellect has great limitations. And we're developing very slowly in terms of our spiritual consciousness. And because we're so focused on the material intellect and the material senses, and we're rejecting the deepest subjective intuitions of our spirit, we're stumbling. We're losing control of our thinking. And that's why we fall into this warlike scenario that we keep falling into. The creation is not a god or a father figure. It has no gender. It is both positive and negative in complete equality. The creation is neutral. Its power and its wisdom is the... it is the greatest power and wisdom in this space and time structure. And the creation, the universal consciousness, must continually evolve. And it's bound to certain laws called the laws of Ur-creation, which is the highest power of consciousness. The Ur-creation created the creation out of an idea. And there's something called the absolute absolutum. And the Ur-creation is bound to the laws created by a higher consciousness called the absolute absolutum. and the power of the absolute absolute impulses through all creation forms. And in our universe, in our Dern universe, there is a universal consciousness, as is there a universal consciousness in our sister universe, the parallel universe called the Tao universe. So the Dern universe, the Tao universe, they were created at roughly the same time when the Big Bang occurred. So the universal consciousness is the power and the might of life in our universe. And the creation creates the planets and the stars and all the flora and the fauna. And the creation is pulsing with life. And death is really just another dimension form of life. The creation that we are living in now, this our universe, is the lowest form of creation. Our creation has what's called the lowest swinging waveform. It is the least old and the least developed of all creation forms. Our universe / creation is at the very beginning of its evolution. It must evolve from the lowest to the highest form of the evolution. Our creation has the lowest knowledge of all creation forms. But eventually it will evolve to the absolute absolutum stage. Our universe will expand for 155.5 trillion years. And this is only the first expansion phase. And only during the first expansion phase are material beings created. Only in the first expansion phase are spiritual forms created. And then the creation, this universe that we live in, will contract for 155.5 trillion years. So our creation is currently 46 trillion years old, and it's in the first stage of expansion. Our creation will go through a series of these expansion and contraction phases. One great time is considered 311 trillion years. So if you divide that by two, you get 155 trillion years, one of which is the expansion phase, and then 155 trillion years of the contraction phase. And then there's a state of slumber. So the universe has a wake cycle and a sleep cycle, just like everything that lives. So I can just give you a quick overview. And there's more to learn in this. And this is some very, very profound information. But it's very interesting is the wider your perspective is, the less vulnerable you are to aggressive behavior or being controlled by your emotions. And I think knowledge of the creation puts us in a state of mind of peace very, very much. And it's such a contrast to what is going on in the world today. So I'm going to take us back to current events for a little while, and we are running out of a little bit of time. I want to say hello to Dream Master One and MS Star Booker in the chat room. Thanks, guys, for showing up. I'm going to play another clip about North Korea again and listen to all the insanity that's going on in the world.
Is with us live tonight from Bedminster, New Jersey, where the president is vacationing at his golf course. And Cecilia, you have more on that statement from the North Koreans at this hour. And any response from the White House tonight?
David, no response from the White House because this statement literally just came in. I want to read a little bit to you. It is from a top army commander given to us by state media, given out by state media. They say that they outright say that this is a crucial warning to the United States, calling that fire and fury comment by President Trump a load of nonsense. They say that this has infuriated the army. They list the exact rockets that they plan to use to fire at Guam, David, and they say this plan will be complete by mid-August.
the administration will have to decide whether some sort of preemptive strike or some other measure should be undertaken to stop Kim.
We do begin with breaking news that headlined North Korea just a short time ago issuing its newest threat. The AP now reporting that the North Korean regime is calling President Trump's words a load of nonsense, saying they will complete their plan to, quote, attack waters near Guam by mid-August. It comes after President Trump warned North Korea against making any more threats, or the U.S. would unleash fire and fury unlike anything the world has ever seen. ABC Senior White House Correspondent Sylvia Vega leading us off.
Tonight, a new threat from North Korea coming in, saying they will be ready to attack the U.S. territory of Guam by mid-August. This comes as President Trump's warning shot fired directly at Pyongyang tonight is sending shockwaves around the world. But ABC News has learned that threat caught some in the president's own inner circle by surprise. The president, in that statement, using language not vetted or pre-approved by his national security team.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
Sources close to the president say behind closed doors with top aides, including new Chief of Staff General John Kelly, President Trump had discussed taking a tougher tone on Pyongyang. But even members of his own national security team had no idea the president would go so far.
He has been very threatening, beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before. Thank you.
Within a few hours, North Korea responding with its own warning, saying it is seriously considering a plan to target Guam with missiles. The U.S. territory, home to crucial military bases and 160,000 Americans, is just 2,000 miles away.
The Pentagon has prepared a specific strike plan for a preemptive attack on North Korea should the president order one. Key to that plan, two senior military officials and two senior retired officers tell us, the battle-tested B-1 bomber, seen here in a military video, training for such a mission. The B-1, recently updated, has been a workhorse in Afghanistan and Iraq. Since the end of May, the B-1s have accelerated their training, conducted 11 practice runs, including one on Monday.
You have a new book coming out, The America We Deserve, which I've had a chance to, had some excerpts given to me by your office. Let me talk about some of the issues. One is North Korea, and you say that you, as president, would be willing to launch a preemptive strike against North Korea's nuclear capability.
First, I'd negotiate. I would negotiate like crazy, and I'd make sure that we tried to get the best deal possible. Look, Tim.
Well, the rhetoric for war continues quite amazingly. And we step ever closer to nuclear catastrophe. Now, have you noticed that we've got another boogeyman now? What did they give us? Saddam Hussein first? And then it was Osama bin Laden? I can't remember which came first. But now we have Kim Jong-un from North Korea, and we have a justification for war now. So we have an excuse to go to war again. And how does this keep happening? Why do we continue to listen to the leaders that always push us toward war? Now, keep this in mind. Keep in mind the absurdity of war as we talk about a little bit of this Meyer material here. And this comes from Billy's book, The Way to Live. It says, when one views and considers the human being precisely, one recognizes that he or she certainly leads an independent existence of thinking, decision, and deeds, as well as creations of ideas and so forth. However, in no wise she or he has a independence in regard to the existence of life. Rather, here she has a dependency on the universal being and being. When one observes and considers the human being, one recognizes a precisely defined life form which ultimately possesses no kind of independent existence. So what does this mean? That means that we have independent thinking and independent decision making. That's very important. But as far as our life, we are dependent on the universe around us. We are dependent on this planet. Now, we continue with our bulldozers to destroy the beautiful flora and fauna around us, and we do not realize we're dependent on that. Let me continue here. Indeed, the human being is to be viewed and considered as a subjective individual. Nevertheless, he or she does not have an independent existence. When one contemplates very precisely, then it can be easily recognized that as a material and spiritual kind of life form, he or she dissolves into an extremely subtle network of relationships. So we have a relationship to the entire creation, to the entire universe. We cannot afford to have warfare. We cannot afford to keep destroying nature through our overpopulation. Let me continue. Consider the entire universe, the cosmic electrical life energy and all kinds of swinging waves and radiations and so forth, by which she is struck and which he or she needs for his existence and his or her material and spiritual form of life. The air, which he or she needs in order to breathe. The water, the nourishment which the earth gives him or her metabolism for the entire maintenance of life. The climate, the weather, the seasons. He or she is dependent on the plants, the heat of the sun, the light of the moon, the stars, all are a part of the human being. The human being himself is a part of all these things. So with warfare, we risk destroying our home. Now, we've evolved to a level where we have nuclear weapons. North Korea has nuclear weapons. China has nuclear weapons. The United States has nuclear weapons. We cannot afford this kind of insanity anymore. We literally are risking the destruction of the whole planet. Let me continue. When one thinks even deeper about the human being, then it becomes unmistakably clearly apparent that everything in the entire universe first contributes to making the human being what he or she is. And the fact shows that he or she at any point in time cannot separate from all other innumerable things in her direct and indirect environment as well as from the planet. We are dependent on this planet, all heavenly bodies and the entire universe. So we are dependent and part of this planet. And every plant, every animal, every human being, we're all interdependent. We can no longer afford to say, okay, these guys over here are the bad guys. And we can no longer afford to think that way. Let me continue here. Were human beings to know the nature of their own consciousness, then they would also undoubtedly be the conscious of the wonderful and wonderful nature of the planet Earth. What does it say about the love of creation? The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And were they to actually see and recognize the beauty and that which is wonderful and wondrous of this world, then they would understand its uniqueness and courageously and determinedly stand up for its protection. In order to preserve the unique world in its entire beauty, we cannot afford to have these global wars anymore. We cannot afford to have an exchange of nuclear weapons. It's absurdity. We cannot do this. Let me continue here for a bit. A true human being searches for the inward view, the insight, the look inside, because the real truth is not to be found outside, rather in oneself, in the inner and in the innermost, and thus in the nature of the consciousness and the spirit. Remember, we have a spirit form. It resides in our middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus. The spirit form can never die. It can never have anxiety. It is completely invulnerable and cannot be harmed by anything in the material realm. Your spirit form generates your innermost nature, and your innermost nature is the part of you that sends you these impulses from the universal consciousness itself. Let me read something here. It says in the psyche, the less advanced the human being is in his or her evolution, the more uncontrolled they react towards their thoughts and feelings, and thus also their emotions. But if a human being lives in higher evolution, then he or she also strives to better control the feelings and to form them according to higher evolution, and to live them out, through which together with their material consciousness, let me talk about our two kinds of consciousness quickly. We have a material consciousness, which we'll call your inner self. We have a spiritual consciousness, which you could call your innermost self. The spiritual consciousness is controlled, its thoughts and feelings are controlled by something called the Gemüt in the German. The Gemüt controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. So let me read a second what the Gemüt is. The Gemüt is referred to as the spiritual block and factor within the spirit body of a life form. We have a spirit body. My material, I've never found it to talk too much about the spirit body yet. I'd like to learn more about that. Okay, but the Gemüt regulates and looks after the spirit consciousness-based feelings and the spirit consciousness-based thoughts. Now, the psyche is different than the Gemüt. The psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. But the Gemüt cannot be influenced by negative powers. The spirit form of Trump and Kim Jong-un cannot be influenced by these machinations and this motivation for war. They both have a spirit form. It's part of the universal consciousness. It's a fragment of that universal consciousness. It, contrary to the psyche, it cannot be influenced by negative powers. It cannot have negative thoughts. It can only have neutral positive thoughts. So if we were all to learn to be influenced by that part of our spirit, then we wouldn't be on the verge of war. I want to thank everyone for listening. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Snyder. Have a great day.